Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. I got to clean up my area. I just recorded an awesome podcast. A buddy of mine named Phil Hickey. I play with at Notre Dame. He's gone on to develop the whole Angry Birds world, right? Like he did the whole head of the marketing department. Like it's pretty awesome. That's the All Ball podcast that'll drop tomorrow. I think you will really, really enjoy that. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. And look, I'm going to do something which I don't mind doing it. I don't mind at all, right? Don't mind doing it at all. But I do think that sometimes people are a little hesitant to toot their own horn. I will not. We'll talk about the Patriots, where they are, and how we told you they would get where they are. Plus, we got Brandon Whedon, we got Kevin Clark, we got Aaron Nagler's going to join us. Everybody's talking about the Packers picking up a wide receiver before the deadline. Like, I seem to be missing something. I don't think their offense is the issue. Danny Woodhead will join us. Former, I guess you call him running back, just hybrid. Unbelievable personal story. I don't know if you remember his personal story. And we'll get his thoughts on a lot of things, including Tom Brady, which is where I want to start. So, we do this thing where so much of life, so much of sports is not just about what you achieve. A lot of it is about what you have achieved and what the expectations are. I think most of us thought Tom Brady would work on some level in Tampa. I mean, let's just be honest. Tampa was a whisker away from making the playoffs last year, and their quarterback had 30 interceptions. 30. So the thought was, you tinker a little bit with the offensive line, you continue to develop the defense, you add in Tom Brady, and you're going to be better, right? That's a reasonable thing to think. Now, the Buccaneers have looked really good the last 2 weeks. They lit up the Raiders, and what was supposed to be a Sunday night game became a Sunday afternoon game. They beat, after falling behind 10-0, they beat up on the Green Bay Packers, handing them their only loss of the season. So what do? Because the expectations, because of the disappointing start with the Saints, because it's Tom Brady, we have conversations like this one from Marcus Spears on GetUp, where Marcus Spears says Tom Brady is the MVP. Colin Cowherd, who precedes my show, Tom Brady is the MVP. Yahoo Sports, Brady is incredibly in the MVP race. Okay, we need to breathe a little bit. We need to inhale, we need to exhale. Tom Brady against the Raiders and Chargers, okay, 2 of the last 3 games, 9 touchdowns. Tom Brady against the 5 other opponents, 9 touchdowns. Now, it's fine to put, like, look, you know, that's how anybody's stats are, that you have good games, you have bad games, you have games in which the defense dictates you got to take shots downfield, you have games in which you got to hand the football off, that's fine. But the idea that Tom Brady has really 2 very good games against a Raiders team that didn't know if they were going to play, against a Chargers team, which I love, but they're without Derwin James. And for that game, they were without 10 starters due to injury and COVID. 10. Can we pump the brakes on the Tom Brady is the MVP? Look, last year they had a quarterback that threw for 5,000 yards, who's the third string quarterback in New Orleans. So it's obvious that there is weaponry there to throw to, and they've made that weaponry better. What does an MVP, the most valuable player? Now, if you want to tell me, and this is the LeBron James, the rising tide lifts all ships, because he's so good, because his reputation is so good, because he works so hard, everybody else is doing better. Okay. But if you want to tell me that he's the single best player in the league or he's doing the most with the least in the league, the answer is no, he's not. There is no calculation that you can make that tells me that Tom Brady is doing the most with the least. I mean, dude, look back to last year and you tell me. Right? Last year, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they started out the year with a huge win. Kind of the opposite of this year, right? That's really kind of what it is. Last year, the Buccaneers, they ended up at 7-9 on the season. Last year, the Buccaneers had Jameis Winston, who, as I said, threw for 5,000 yards. They lost to the San Francisco 49ers, who went to the Super Bowl and lost. They beat the Carolina Panthers. They lost to the Giants. They beat the Rams. There were some ups. There were some downs. They went through a stretch where they won 5 out of 6 games. During that stretch, they beat the Arizona Cardinals. They beat the Detroit Lions on the road. They beat the Atlanta Falcons on the road, who were red hot at the time. Like, they were playing some really good football. They have good football in them. But if you took Tom Brady off of this team and you put Jameis Winston back on this team, it stands to reason they'd probably be right around that 7-9 and 8-8 mark. What is the most valuable player? We've seen what happens when Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. The Green Bay Packers have no chance. We've seen what happens. We haven't seen what happens if Russell Wilson gets hurt, but the idea is they would have no chance. And oh yeah, by the way, like, we've seen the difference between when Lamar Jackson became the quarterback, and I'm not a huge Lamar Jackson guy in terms of all time. Even you go to the Kansas City Chiefs last year, and you can tell me that they were relatively successful when they didn't have Pat Mahomes. The idea that Brady is what Mahomes is kind of laughable because he's had 2 explosive games. He's played 3 teams with above 500 records, and their team is 1-2. There is no statistical performance that shows you. There aren't honestly the wins and losses. The team is already pretty well constructed. There is a path, or there is at least a blueprint of what they would look like if you didn't have them. Granted, would not be considered maybe the best team in the NFL. But the idea that Tom Brady has gone from, does he have anything in the tank, to he's the MVP, kind of laughable right now. I love Tom Brady. I think he's terrific. I think he's been terrific for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the idea that he's the MVP because they've won a couple of games and he threw 9 touchdown passes against the Chargers and the Raiders, 2 teams that probably don't make the playoffs, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. Compare that to Pat Mahomes, who takes on the Baltimore Ravens, who were widely considered at the time the best team in football, a dominating defense, and lights them up. Who do you think's been better? Right? Who's better? Yes, Aaron Rodgers on that day was bad. Also, by the way, proves his value. If he doesn't play at a high level, the Green Bay Packers aren't a very good football team. And we all know what the Seattle Seahawks are. They live and die by Russell Wilson. The only time they lose a game is when Russell Wilson throws 3 interceptions. I think maybe the strongest point you can make in Tom Brady not being the MVP in terms of his play on the football field is his 2 best games statistically, they beat bad teams. When they beat the Green Bay Packers, he was fine. You just have to lose the game because he's not the most valuable player. He's not the only reason that they win. So this is not Gottlieb hating on Tom Brady. This is just me going, can we slow down? Right? He went from being a mid to low mid-pack quarterback in the NFL to, you know what, maybe he's still a top 10 quarterback in this league. Tom Brady's had a great career. He's a good player. The questions are about what he does in the second half of the season when he gets tired and what could he do with a bad roster? What could he do? Like, people are down on Matt Stafford because Matt Stafford doesn't win. Like, dude, Matt Stafford balled out. Carson Wentz has balled. How do you think he would look with 4 backup or third string offensive linemen like Carson Wentz has been dealing with, and all backup and practice squad wide receivers. So I'm not telling you that the Buccaneers aren't awesome. They are. I'm not telling you that Tom Brady isn't playing better football. He is. And I'm not telling you that he hasn't had an incredible, the most successful modern-day football career. He has. But he's playing with a loaded roster, tremendous defensive front, good coordinators on both sides, and he hasn't been the cause of their biggest wins. Coming up next. This quarterback's value keeps rising even though he's not playing right now. I'll tell you who he is next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so I'm trying not to like to make congruent arguments. Does that make sense? Byer, you know what a congruent argument is? I mean, I want to make sure that I'm...
One that goes along the same lines as the one next to it?
Yeah, yeah. In agreement in harmony, identical in form, coinciding exactly when superimposed, right? So, like, look, I thought LeBron should have been the MVP of the league because of his leadership and what he got out of Anthony Davis, what he got out of that team. And so if that was the argument for Tampa Bay, okay. You know, they haven't been good and now they're pretty good, but they were close last year. He makes them better. But I definitely think there's a leadership element to it. Right, the getting on the offensive linemen when they were terrible against the Chicago Bears, they've been really good ever since. So leadership aspect to it, and if that's your argument, it's a good one. I don't know if his leadership is so good that it overcomes the fact that other guys have led their teams to equal or even greater heights with lesser surrounding talent. On the other hand, I do think that it's a position of leadership. Not anything new that I'm stating to you, but it is a position of leadership. So with that in mind, has anybody helped or has their value shown any more than Dak Prescott? Right? Like Dak's been hurt for a couple weeks now, and we're still reacting to Andy Dalton nearly getting decapitated in the game against Washington. Here's Richard Sherman on the Chris Collinsworth podcast talking about the Cowboys teammates not coming to the defense of Andy Dalton.
If you're in Tampa and somebody hits Tom Brady like that, I don't think that guy makes it off the field. If you're in Seattle and that happens to Russell Wilson, I don't think that guy makes it off the field. If you're in New Orleans and it happens to Drew, that guy does not make it off the field.
I think they do make it off the field. I think like it's a little bit of an overstatement, right? But there's always the, you know, roughing the guy up and then, you know, somebody gets a clean shot at him the next time around, right? But the point is a really good one. Like, I disagree sometimes with Richard Sherman. He goes over the top on things, but this one's a really good one. Now, we have to get the context to it. The important thing is the guys that are supposed to come to the defense of the quarterback are the offensive linemen, and if we know what's going on in Dallas, those are all backup offensive linemen. That said, if it was Dak Prescott, everybody comes to his defense, not Andy Dalton. And it's not that Andy Dalton's a bad guy or that he's not a leader, but he's not really the quarterback. It's Dak Prescott is still the quarterback, even if he's not healthy as the quarterback. Dak's value has and will always be in his leadership. The perfect example is when he got hurt, how, you know, we've seen other players, and maybe we haven't seen quarterbacks. You know, Alex Smith is the last starting quarterback to get hurt when it was obvious that that guy was going to be out for the year like Dak was. But the response from the Cowboys, the response from the opposition, the response from around the league, like if there's one thing about Dak that is pretty apparent, it's he's an incredible leader. He is the leader of the Dallas Cowboys. It is unquestioned. And if that's Richard Sherman's point, I'm going to agree with him. And it helps his value. Because of all the things that are hard to replace in this world, leadership is the hardest. Let's get to Dan Byer and find out what else is going on. DB, what do you got?
Doug, can I hear that Richard Sherman again? Because he sounds like...
His voice is really weird.
It's like when you try to disguise your identity.
Yes.
And they're like, this person did not want to be identified.
Go do it. Do it again.
If you're in Tampa and somebody hits Tom Brady like that, I don't think that guy makes it off the field. If you're in Seattle, and that happens to Russell Wilson, I don't think that guy makes it off the field. If you're in New Orleans and it happens to Drew, that guy does not make it off the field.
We have another. What do we have, John? We have another. Yeah. Okay.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason.
Okay. All right. That's a Ramos special. You
thrilled our fans throughout the postseason.
Oh man.
Ah, bartender. what's the guy from Moe's from The Simpsons who's always drunk? What's that guy's name?
I don't watch The Simpsons.
Not like groundskeeper Willie. Not groundskeeper Willie. You don't watch The Simpsons?
No, I don't. For as much TV as I watch, I've never got into The Simpsons.
What?
That and family, like the animation was just, I watched a little South Park, you know, for a while, but.
Funny?
Yeah. And I have nothing against it. Absolutely. I think, you know, the clips that I see are magnificent, but yeah, never necessarily.
Really?
Got in deep. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Well, yeah, it just happened.
Too childish for your adult palate?
No. I think I just felt it was like the cartoon sort of thing,
Simpsons.
The animated sort of stuff. But
wow, I don't know.
I know. I'm sorry. I feel like I disappoint you guys with something new every day about me. No movies, no cartoon.
This is true.
Yeah. But I do think that Richard Sherman did not want to be identified, and so they protected his voice.
Okay, so you don't know any of these characters?
Oh, I know like one, you know, Mo, right?
Do you know? Well, Mo is the one who talks like this. He's the bartender, right? But my point is more that, like, you know, like if I said Sideshow Bob, nothing.
I wouldn't know who that is.
Maya Quimby?
That one's a little tough. I wouldn't know that.
There's a clown, right? I know there's a clown.
Is Ned Flanders, he one as well?
Yeah.
I would have known that.
Yeah. Yeah, what we should do is we should have a show where we go through and we say, like, who in sports is the Ned Flanders, right? Like, I kind of think that Russell Wilson used to be Ned Flanders. Now it's either Derek Carr or, you know, Ned Flanders is Kirk Cousins.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Brandon Whedon joins us. Brandon, are you a Simpsons guy?
No, honestly, growing up, no, I didn't watch it, man. It would go way over my head. I have no clue.
Okay, like if your top, do you any cartoons? Are you South Park? You Family Guy? Anything cartoons? Like adult cartoons?
Man, I'll be honest. The only cartoon I watched growing up was like Tom and Jerry. I mean, that was about it. Other than that, man,
Were you a Tom guy or a Jerry guy?
Big Tom guy.
I'm got, huh? I think I was too. I think I was.
Good show. It was
solid. What do you make of no one coming to Andy Dalton's defense when he nearly gets decapitated?
Oh man, I was talking to Dusty Dvorak about this yesterday. Man, that's one of the worst things I've seen. And I don't care who's playing quarterback, whether it's Andy Dalton or anybody. You take a cheap shot like that. I mean, you expect everybody kind of come in and brush the pile. And you know, John Bostic's kind of known for making some dirty plays, you know, throughout his career. But what I told Dusty was, if Tyron Smith, you know, Travis Frederick still playing, Zach Martin, Leo Collins, if they're in the game right there, John Bostic's getting his head taken off.
Yeah,
they're going to come in and clean him up, you know. And you know, these young linemen, they just don't know any better. They're playing bad. I don't know. That kind of shows kind of what state that organization is right now, and that's kind of the icing on the cake. I was pissed when I saw it. I mean, steam was coming out of my ears, because I just, you know, I can't imagine that. You know, if Tony was playing back in the day, or even Dak, and you know, he had those guys in front of him, those guys would have came in there and cleaned him up, but yeah, that was brutal, man.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I guess just the how much of it do you get him a pass because those are backups, and they're just, you know, look, I'm just trying to keep my job here, dude. I didn't even know.
But what about Amari Cooper? Amari Cooper's right there. He saw. I mean, he was, you know, five feet from the deal. I mean, if I'm Amari Cooper, I'm going to come in there and take a shot. I mean, you know, and get some. I mean, something. I mean, I don't care if it's your franchise quarterback or not. You know, that should not be tolerated within any of those 50. Those 53 guys are so tight. That should never happen. And I mean, Amari Cooper was right there. There were several guys around the pile. I mean, golly, I was. I was ticked off. I mean, obviously, I've been out of the league for 2 years, and it's still just kind of got my blood boiling a little bit.
No question. I mean, no question. It's in basketball, if somebody, a hard foul, or if you leave your feet, somebody fouls the guy when he's touches his legs when he's left his feet, that's like cause for a fight, you know, an illegal scream.
For
we
sure.
Come back and we get you. Okay, so what is going on with the Cowboys?
Oh, man, I'm not even real sure where you start. I mean, you know, obviously they've had some injuries. I think offensively, no one really – I'm sure people were talking about it in Dallas, but losing Travis Frederick, obviously, to retirement was a big blow. I mean, if he's not the best center in the league, he's in the top two or three. I mean, he kind of made that thing go. And they had a great offensive line, obviously, with the injuries and all the stuff they've had to endure throughout the year. That kind of starts the offensive problems. But that defense, man, I don't know. I mean, they've got a couple pretty good players over there. But scheme-wise and just responsibility-wise, and these guys are out of position all the time. I mean, you look at what they're trying to do, setting the edge, and, you know, obviously, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence has paid a lot of money to rush the quarterback. But, I mean, he's, in my opinion, right now, he's the only guy playing hard on that side of the ball. I mean, they're just getting gashed in the run game. They can't cover anybody. Their secondary is scuffling. They're just, I don't know. I mean, their defense is, in my opinion, just out of sorts. I mean, That's being pretty kind about it, but it's pretty clear they've got some issues going on inside that locker room. I think there's some guys that, you know, the finger pointing has already started. I think there's some guys that are, little disgruntled and the whole deal, which in that organization gets magnified, you know, because you're the Dallas Cowboys, and that's, you know, the lights are a little bit brighter and, you know, the media coverage and everything else. But there's just it starts with McCarthy. I think he's got to get a grip on his guys. Obviously, they made some moves with, you know, with Poe and Everson Griffin getting traded and the whole deal. But, man, they're a dumpster fire right now. It's rough.
Yeah. Getting rid of those guys signifies that those guys were they not buying in, or were they just bad fits?
I mean, they're both really good players. I mean, I think Poe is, you know, coming off an injury, but I think he's a good player. Obviously, Everson Griffin's, you know, played a long time in this league, and he's still a good player. I think the fit wasn't quite there. I mean, you have to assume. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a guy that always like, oh, let's fire the coach, but it's pretty clear that, you know, Mike Nolan's, he does not have a grip on this defense. I mean, whether it be the personnel or, you know, find the scheme that works for these guys. But, man, I mean, if he makes it through the year, I'll be shocked.
Brandon Weeden, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. On the other side, you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it feels like Tom Brady's starting to get a rhythm. Now, it should be mentioned that he was okay against Green Bay. The two teams he lit up were the Chargers, who they fell behind, you know, 10 points to, and to the Raiders. And, like, look, the Raiders didn't even know if they were going to play on Sunday because of all those positive COVID tests. What do you make of Brady? Has he been that good, or is just, look, they got a lot of talent, a lot of people could do what he's been doing?
No, he's still the GOAT. I mean, some of the throws he made, I mean, you know, you brought it up. I mean, as far, you know, him throwing the ball down the field and those types of things. I mean, he's throwing the ball down the field, intermediate stuff. I mean, he's still playing at a very, very high level, in my opinion. I still think he's 43 years old, and he still makes it look so damn easy. It's crazy, but yeah. I mean, you know, that's what they want. I mean, they've got a great defense. I mean, I said that, you know, a long time ago. They were pretty much a quarterback away last year. I thought that defense was a top tier defense in the league last year. They just turned the ball over too much, and for the most part, he's taken care of it, and he's played, I mean, extremely, extremely well. And now he's got a bunch of, you know, now he's got a bunch of weapons, and they're adding Antonio Brown, which is just another, you know, weapon that makes him crazy dangerous. But yeah, I mean, he's still Tom Brady. I mean, he's still, in my opinion, you know, playing at an extremely high level. He's the best of all time, and they got to make a run of it. They got a good team, and this is their chance to make a run at it.
There's something going on with Cam Newton. Now, look, full disclosure, you know, he had the shoulder injury, he had the shoulder surgery, and I was told from some NFL people that, like, the reason he was still out in the market wasn't just COVID. It was, dude, no one knew if he could throw a football. Is it mechanics? Is it his shoulder? What's going on that he's missing so badly?
I think his mechanics are awful. And I saw Dan Orlovsky kind of touch on this. I think it was on Twitter or NFL Live or something. But, I mean, his feet, I mean, he's, you know, if he's throwing the ball to the left, say he's throwing an out route to the left to the sideline, his feet are down the yard line. I mean, he's not he's so out of whack with his feet and his arm. And, you know, he's always been a guy that can kind of – he's a big guy. He's one of the biggest guys I've ever seen. He stands in the pocket, and he's always thrown from the telephone booth. You're like, damn, that'd be nice. I mean, he's always done a really good job of that. But, I mean, he's thrown the ball extremely poorly. I mean, and I think a lot of it's mechanics. I think he's all out of sorts. You know, his arm's strong, but he's not – you know, he doesn't have a cannon. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, for example, you know, the underneath stuff that Brady used to make a living with Edelman and, you know, Amendola when he was there and guys like that, I mean, they're not – doesn't seem like they're doing a whole lot of that. I mean, just – they don't have a ton of horses on the outside, which is making it tough. But to me, it looks like he's playing slow. I mean, you know, he's processing things slow. He's really like his drop is slow. Everything's just real methodical and just real slow, and he's not playing fast. And I don't know. He looks out of sorts to me, but I don't know. I think it kind of starts from the ground up. I think his feet are out of whack, and you know, he's just not throwing the ball well and not throwing it accurately, in my opinion.
Can you fix that? Can you fix that in season?
Yeah, it's tough though, man. I mean, because I mean, you only have so much time out there. You can only throw so many balls, but yeah, you can. I mean, but it takes a conscious effort, and I think it takes him, you know, kind of wanting to do it, you know, on the side. It's not one of those things that coaches are going to be like, hey, man, let's go work on your foot, you know, your footwork, because it's, you know, you're about to game plan, they're about to go play a football game. So, yes, you can, but it's easier said than done. I think he's got some issues that, you know, my opinion is going to have to carry over to the offseason.
Brandon Weeden, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let me got a couple more quarterbacks kind of to ask you about. What are your thoughts on Jared Goff?
I think he's playing well. I mean, I'm a huge Sean McVay fan. I think he calls plays to set you up as a quarterback, you know, very quarterback friendly. I mean, what they do in the run game that they counter with the play action, the bootlegs and stuff like that. I mean, he just it's hard on defenses. All the jet motions and all the other stuff. I mean, he makes it pretty simple for Jared, and I think Jared's playing really well. I mean, he's kind of in a situation now. He's got good weapons. He doesn't have to, you know, go out and throw it 40 times to win it. I mean, he can. He's got a good defense. Obviously, got a great defensive line. Got, you know, a good secondary. Got, you know, plenty of playmakers on both sides of the ball. But he's I think he's playing well. I really do. I think he's got a chance to, you know, put his team in position to make a run at it. I mean, that's a tough division they're in. Obviously, that division's probably the best in football. But he's playing well. I mean, he's not turning it over, you know, at a high rate, and he's throwing the ball pretty well.
Foles keeps coming out saying Brian Griese didn't, you know, misunderstood what he was saying and misspoke and you know he talked to Nagy and kind of cleared it up. What do you know? Foles was quoted by Griese as saying like, "Hey, sometimes he calls plays that I'm just not going to have time to make that throw." Felt pretty accurate with, you know, I don't want to know why Griese would offer it up. What are your thoughts on the validity of what Griese repeated that he said Foles had said?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those deals that, you know, sometimes you may think it, but you probably should never say it, you know, especially if you're playing. You know, that system, you know, when you want to take shots, I mean, I wouldn't say they're a big team that's going to match protect to take shots. They're going to do it with those five guys and maybe a running back. They're, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I think there's times where, you know, he stands back there and he knows he's going to get hit in the chin if he has to take a shot, you know, on a post or a dig or, you know, some of these deeper down the field throws. But yeah, I was kind of shocked to see all that kind of transpire. I didn't think Nick or the whole thing would kind of take place the way it did. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we've all felt like that. If you play quarterback long enough, there's times you're like, man, I just don't think I have time to get this ball off. You know, it's just, you know, the pocket's either going to collapse or, you know, the protection's not going to hold up. But yeah, I mean, he's not playing great right now, and, you know, it's kind of all snowballed for him a little bit.
B, thanks so much for joining us, dude. Hope you're doing well. Getting ready for a little Halloween with the kiddos. Thanks for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
It's my pleasure. It's Brandon Weeden joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Interesting stuff, right? He basically echoed what Richard Sherman said. Except he didn't sound like his voice was changed to protect his identity. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. And if signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see his train, stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA. the best right now, and it's not even close. I'll tell you what it is.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show! Fox Sports Radio. Man, a little rage.
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Have you boys voted? Ramos, you voted?
I have voted, but I had to put my ballot in that box.
In the ballot box?
In the box. Yep.
Again, I think Doug has said this before, but it's only official until you've taken a picture of yourself with the sticker.
Yes, I know that.
There you go.
I guess I have to do that. You're right.
It's like you only get an off-season workout if you post the video on social media. Byer, you voted yet?
Yes. Now, I put it in the box. Just no pictures of the sticker.
What did you do with the sticker?
It's actually calling in right now. No, it's on the. It's actually just still sitting on the piece that you know it was mailed into.
This is Ballot Express.
Yeah.
What was the hardest? What was the hardest thing to?
All the
propositions.
Yeah, because you're trying to figure out.
I always struggled with prepositions in high school, so propositions where I knew were tough. Mine is like the local people. Like I don't know any of these people, and I don't really like. I mean, I don't hate my local government, but I just don't know what they do.
Judges are always tough, too.
School board, like, I don't know.
There was a guy, I don't know if, I can't remember how local it was, if it was on your ballot, Doug, or maybe just on mine, but whose middle name, his last name was Yang, but his middle name was Andrew, like the former presidential candidate.
Yeah.
So he officially put on the ballot his middle name for more name recognition. Hmm. Yeah, they're just. Otherwise, it was like Scott Andrew Yang or Scott Yang.
I'm
going to
break
the
news
like
here. I did not vote for Kanye West, but Kanye West being on my ballot as a vice presidential candidate was the surprise of the night.
Oh, good stuff.
All right, Doug, what do you got?
All right. The game today, Doug, is.
I feel a draft.
I thought we were going to try to draft who was calling during that segment. The topic today is, Ryan Music is on the phone. The topic today, guys, draft your favorite months.
Mm.
So, John Ramos, you've got the first overall pick. Doug, you're second. I'm third, and then Ryan will take the swing picks at 4 and 5, and we'll go in reverse order.
I'll tell you, Dan, a lot of drafts that I go first, I usually like to sell off.
Trade out of.
Not this one. Not so
but
fast,
not
my
this
friend.
One, because I really feel that my pick is nowhere near what Doug's pick is going to be. So I feel like I won't take his month. So I'm going to hold on to it. My favorite month is December, because I love Christmas time. So I'm
you live
thinking,
in California.
I don't care.
Okay.
here's the great thing. John's rationale is the reason to trade. Because if Doug wasn't going to take it.
Right. John, the problem with you trading is you never get anything in return.
Yeah.
You don't trade, you give away.
Okay, well, I'm taking December. So number one, I'll go with December. But I know what Doug's is, so that's why I didn't want to take it. So go ahead.
Okay.
I had the second pick. What?
Yep.
October.
Of course it was.
October.
Yes.
October. Now, I mean, do I get baseball? I get NFL, college football. I get the leaves turning. It's not so hot, but it's not so cold. It's fall. And then this year, I got the NBA finals as well, like October, and it's a wrap.
I will say this because of where I grew up in the upper Midwest.
Yes.
The month of March, when winter starts to go away.
Winter.
It doesn't always go away
in
March.
It's usually May.
No, it's over by, it's way over by May. Sometimes you'll get some snowfall in April, but when you get a 45 degree day in March and you
get a 45 degree day there.
Yes, you will. And plus hoops, and then it just leads into the, it's madness. That's what it is.
I think you wanted to say April. I think you're thinking March, but you really mean April.
No,
okay.
I actually do mean March. Okay. So yeah, I do.
Ryan,
yeah.
What do you? Did Ryan call in? Is that what he did? Is Ryan calling in for this?
Did.
What do you say?
I am.
Oh, hey, Ryan Music. What do you got?
This is tough. I'm gonna go with July because I am a big summer guy. So you get right in the middle of summer there. You also have 4th of July where you could always have a ton of fun activities to do. So I'll go with July with my first pick.
Now, the second pick's difficult. But
I'm going
to
go with June because I'm a big summer guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like drafting two quarterbacks.
Yeah. I will go with, let's go with February. February is a good month. You know, football season finally comes to an end, so you can kind of turn the page towards all the other sports that you get to watch. Maybe you can still get some snow activities in. So we'll go with February as the second pick.
All right, Dan?
Geez, I'd love to pick the birthday month, but I'm going to pass. I'm going to go with June. I'm going to go with June because of the...
June gloom?
Then start of summer, you know. Nice, fresh feeling.
Right, I'm going to go with January because you get the bowl games on January 1st, and then you get playoff football. And I actually do like wintertime. I'm going to go with January.
All right, John.
I'm going to go ahead and do – did Doug say April?
No.
Okay, then I
Final Four, Masters?
Yes, I'm going to take April. Baseball is mainly why. Baseball in the month of April.
And Final Four, Masters. I'll help you out there.
Did I mention
the Final Four and the Masters? And that is –
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
So many things to get to. Why do we think Todd Gurley fell into the end zone? Got to get to that. Is Tom Brady the MVP as of now? Should the Packers add a wide receiver? I don't really kind of understand that logic. Maybe Kevin Clark will help us with that. And then... You know what we haven't talked about yet, and as we're getting close to the weekend, we're like a day away from the weekend. Steelers, Ravens this weekend. Why does it not feel like a titanic showdown of two of the elite teams in the NFL? Is it the world has figured out Lamar Jackson, or are we just not ready for how good the Steelers are? We'll get to that next on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio.